You're all very wonderful people. You're sincere seekers of the truth, of Krishna consciousness. The Prabhupada once said that a program is only as good as the leader. Follow the leader. And here you have a most wonderful leader in his divine grace, Vaisheshika Prabhu, who is a very dedicated soul to the dearmost instructions of his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, to distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. Sometimes people think this is a quotation from the 70s or the 80s, and perhaps we've moved on, but that is not a fact. Srila Prabhupada was told us one time, not myself, but he told my godbrother Bhavananda Prabhu. Bhavananda had accompanied Srila Prabhupada from Nairobi, Kenya in Africa, back to India. And there in Africa, you have to have a yellow fever shot because the mosquitoes bite you, get malaria and dengue fever and yellow fever. So when you come back to India or you go on to any other country, they see in your passport, you've been to Kenya? Do you have a yellow fever vaccination? Yes, sir. All right, you can come in. But if you don't have that certificate, they put you in quarantine. So Prabhupada came back from Africa with several servants, and somebody forgot his yellow vaccination certificate. So Prabhupada, believe it or not, he had to stay in quarantine at the Bombay airport for 11 days. You can just imagine what facilities they have at the quarantine at the Bombay airport, especially in the 70s. But Prabhupada, what could he do? So he was there, and one evening they were, Prabhupada and Bhavananda were on the porch, and Prabhupada was sitting in a rocking chair. And he said to Bhavananda, "I did not want to come to this nasty place." So Bhavananda felt very bad. "I'm so sorry, Srila Prabhupada, I misplaced your yellow fever vaccination certificate." And Prabhupada said, no, "I did not want to come to this nasty place, this material world. But Krishna asked me to come." Gurgavinda Maharaj said in one very wonderful lecture, there's two types of souls who come from the spiritual sky. There's the devotee who comes on his own accord, out of his infinite compassion. It's nice to think that there are liberated souls who are concerned about our welfare, even though we don't know about them. And then there's the soul who receives the personal instruction of the Lord himself. We can imagine how dear that person is to the Lord, that he entrusts him with the very same mission that he inaugurated thousands and thousands of years ago. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharat. So Bhavananda got a little bit closer because it looked like there was going to be a peek into Srila Prabhupada's past. Pure devotees don't generally speak very much about themselves. They just want to glorify the Lord. So Prabhupada said, "Yes, the Lord asked me to come, but I told him I'm not very inclined towards austerity." And in that material world, it's a very nasty place. "So Krishna told me," Prabhupada said, "you just go down and write books on the science of Krishna consciousness, and I will arrange everything else." So this was reiterated by Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Pari Bhajukacharya Ushtatara Sri Shimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When on a number of occasions, but particularly on one occasion, when they were walking together at Radhakund, because Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati showered a lot of affection on Srila Prabhupada. A lot of affection on him. They used to walk together. He told them, if you ever get money, print books. And he said that we have built this temple at Bagh Bazar, but I would, if required, sell all the marble in this temple to buy a printing press to keep the Brihat Mridanga of book distribution going within my Gaudiya Vaishnav mission. So that was impregnated into the heart of Prabhupada. When someone is impregnated, when a woman becomes impregnated, there's the seed. The child's not there immediately. The seed is there. And in due course of time, that seed grows, it becomes the embryo, and then the child is born, becomes an infant and a baby and a young child and a young adult, and then matures like that. So the seed was planted by the Lord, and it was reiterated by his representative, because what is the qualification of the spiritual master? His qualification is that he's just repeating the message of the Lord. He doesn't concoct anything new. This is his glory. He repeats the message verbatim, and his life is a perfect example of that philosophy. So it's not surprising that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur reiterated the same instruction that Prabhupada had received originally from the Lord in the spiritual skies. It's quite amazing, actually. That is the desire of all of the Lord in his various, well, at least the last two incarnations. Technically, Krishna and Mahaprabhu are not incarnations. They are directly the Lord himself, because they manifest the full six opulences of the Lord, Bhagavan. But they want to disseminate transcendental knowledge within this world. Mahaprabhu also requested his Goswamis to write books on the science of Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan, to establish temples, and to find the lost places of Krishna's pastimes. So anyone who carries on that mission, which is so dear to Krishna, and so dear to the Acharyas, and so dear to Śrīla Prabhupāda, that devotee becomes very dear to his spiritual master, such as this, our Vaisheshika Prabhu. This has been his life's mission, and as a result, you can see everything is coming from that. If you simply follow the instruction of the spiritual master, everything comes in turn. Even if it may be very difficult. One time Prabhupada said, along with the instruction of the spiritual master comes the ability to execute it. It's something transcendental. So we should never hesitate, however great the challenge. What a challenge! To preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world. People come to this world to forget God, and the epitome of that forgetfulness is here in Western countries. People are covered by the veil of Maya, the desire for sense gratification, material enjoyment. So it's a great challenge. But if we fulfill the instruction of the Lord, everything will come from that. Our advancement is assured. So there we can see the main theme of this most blissful temple in America, and you know this recording will be distributed all over the country. Unfortunately, I don't know why, but they do it on some website. We can say that this is a model community to follow, because the drumbeat of the Sankirtan movement is pounding here very strongly. Although maybe you're only in third place in the book distribution. The fever, the pitch of the fever is very hard, because the drumbeat is pounding in his heart. One time Prabhupada was walking on nearby Stinson Beach. I know it well, because I won't tell you why. When I was a kid, I used to go there and suffer. They called it surfing, but Prabhupada called it suffering. One time Prabhupada was walking on that beach, and the waves were particularly big that day. Those kind of days we always hoped for. And Prabhupada said, what is the sound of the waves? Boom, 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 boom. And one disciple said, this is the sound of the waves. Prabhupada said, no, this is the sound of the gopis' heartbeats. when they're feeling viparlamba bhav, or separation from Krishna. So the heartbeat of the pure devotee is something very special, and this desire to deliver the conditioned souls from ignorance, this is the reason these great souls come from the spiritual world. And if we follow in their footsteps here, we become qualified to serve them there. As Prabodhananda Saraswati says in his Chaitanya Chandamrita, that through the activities of the Sankirtan movement, one gets the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada never told us who he was in the spiritual sky, and neither should we ever speculate. Perhaps there's a reason for that, because we're meant to follow him in this world. By following his mission in this world, we receive his mercy to serve him eternally in the spiritual world. So you're all doing the right thing, as they say. You're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. You're continuing to beat on the Sankirtan drum, the Sankirtan drum. And as a result, you can see Krishna's blessing you. In the beginning, I sent forth generations of men and demigods, Krishna says in Gita, and blessed them that by the performance of the Sankirtan, he said yajna, by the performance of this yajna, all desirable things will be bestowed upon you. If you do the yajna, yajna what? Yajna vai Vishnu. If you please Krishna, who's the root cause of all existence, and he'll take care of you. Prabhupada said one time, Krishna's no poor man. And Krishna says, yogik kshemam bahamyaham. For my devotee, I protect what he has and I provide what he lacks. And what does Krishna want? Harinam, harinam, harinam eva kevalam. Kalo dasteva, nasteva, nasteva, gatir anyathat. He wants the Yuga Dharma spread because he's the Yuga Avatar. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shango Pangasha Parshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Payar Yajanti Shumairasaha. He who appeared previously in Dvapara Yuga, at the end of Dvapara Yuga, bluish black like a monsoon cloud, has now appeared in the age of Kali in a golden form because his internal mood is that of Radha. So the internal mood is reflected by the external appearance. So he came also to taste the loving sentiments of Radharani, twofold purpose. He's a golden form. How you recognize him? He's always surrounded by his associates who are chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And interestingly enough, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati coined that phrase, Brihat Mridanga. We can go on the street and we can chant with our kolos and our mridangas, but that sound will be heard several blocks away. But being very innovative, without compromising, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada are presenting the Brihat Mridanga. This sound is heard round the world, like we have our famous Paul Revere. I think he fired a shot. The British are coming! The British are coming! During the American Revolution. And it was said that was a shot heard round the world. Now, he must have had a pretty big cannon to be heard round the world. No. Metaphorically, that American Revolution shook Europe to its roots. Because the British were afraid of losing this very valuable piece of land. I mean, my God, look where they live, on a cloudy island, surrounded by water, freezing cold. Your winter is their summer. Same temperature, same. He's from Ireland. Genuine leprechaun we have here. Gaur Hari Prabhu is from Irish. He'll tell you. It is said that once the sun never set on the British Empire, Now, perhaps because of their apparats to Bharatvarsha, to India, what they did there, to that culture and all the gold and gems and things. Now the sun never rises on the British Empire. They didn't want to lose this beautiful country of America. It's blessed by God. God bless America, the land of the free. As we should actually, we appreciate that. Here, we can preach openly. We travel, in our travels around the world, we go to so many countries where you're not allowed to preach, so you have to preach in secret or undercover. My dear disciple, Gandharvika Giridhari, there with the baby, she will tell you, we first met in Russia before communism fell. And we have so many nice stories how we were preaching undercover. The first pictures of me in Russia are with long hair. We had a wig on, actually. Like that. And even today, places like China, Middle East, other places, very difficult to express your religious beliefs or sentiment. Here in America, unless, you know, you're something very strange and dangerous in the name of a religious movement, you're allowed. We have so much opportunity. So British didn't want to lose this valuable place. So therefore, the American Revolution shook them to the roots. And it shook France to the roots as well, because our original American patriots, they asked France to help. Voilà, la France. And France helped. Therefore, actually, there's meant to be a very strong camaraderie between America and France. Where did the Statue of Liberty come from? You think George Washington carved it? No. It was given by France. So France was also shaken to the roots by the American Revolution. So it was the shot heard around the world. Well, similarly, the Brihat Mridanga. We can play the mridanga on the side of the street and it can be heard, and that is something wonderful, and we should continue with the Harinam Sankirtan. People always say, where have you been? They love it, as you've seen. It's one of the mediums. But time is short. People's lives are short. The situation's getting worse. Day by day, according to Bhagavatam, cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, austerity, memory, duration, all decreasing. It's a race against time. To feel the sense of urgency, as Prabhupada did, to preach Krishna consciousness. And the most effective means is through Brihat Mridanga. Book distribution or any program which spreads the holy name of Krishna far and wide. Internet is also we have to keep up with the times. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said his definition of progress was making the necessary adjustments on the way to the goal. You had your airport distribution, and now somehow it wasn't working like it used to because of, well, history has its reasons. And Vaisheshika Prabhu was confined to a corner of the airport with some weirdos. So one might think, oh, everything's winding up, it's finished. No, but devotee takes opportunity of adversary to think, what does Krishna want now? Maybe it can be even bigger. He has this faith. Failure is the pillar of success. Sankirtan devotee is never discouraged. He has faith in Gaura Shakti. What is Gaura Shakti? I told this story the other day. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, because he revived the Sankirtan movement from practically nothing, he's understood as the internal, he's blessed with the internal potency of Lord Chaitanya. When my son was born, when I was a family man in the 70s, my son was born 1975 or 76, I can't remember, I was on Sankirtan. And I called in 3 days late, and my temple president said, your wife has given birth to a a child, and I said, is it a boy or a girl? It's a girl boy. And we have named him Gaur Shakti. And I thought, what does that mean? I wanted some Vrindavan name. But then he said, this is the internal potency of Lord Chaitanya by which the Sankirtan movement is spread. I think that's a very nice name. And I also call him Shaktipad, because in those days there were, but we had our Bhaktipad and Vishnupad and Gurupad. So my Raya Vishnu, he's Shaktipad. Even to this day, I call him, hey Shaktipad. I'm the only one who calls him that. So you took advantage of the ill fate, and now Shashika Prabhu is leading the others. Someone can say he's not doing as many books before, but no. As a leader, he's inspiring all of you in this Sankirtan, and you're going out and preaching door to door, and you've got your stalls and all those things I haven't learned yet. I'll get the names, I'll catch it while I'm here. I'm a little rusty. I also distributed books. 11 years, best days of my life. If somehow or other I had to give up the service because of whatever, a war or whatever, I don't know, the economy, the recession, there's no more petrol to fly anywhere. As a traveling preacher, initiating spiritual master, what would I do? I still have my book bag in France. It's one of those mirror, those old, the ladies took one of those old tapestries that had mirrors in them, and I made a big book bag like that, big thick like that, and I hung up my shoes, my cleats, because I was asked to be temple president at New Mayapur. And then later, sannyas, and then, you know, guruship. But I would be happy if I was ordered. Just take your book bag for now and go back and distribute books. I know exactly where I'd go. Alsace-Lorraine. Or I would go to Brittany, Bretagne, Quimper. These are my favorite places. People were so pious and invite us in, and we talk and we distribute books. We learn so much from that book. Whatever we know now, as a traveling preacher, a representative of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, in our very small way, I can say honestly, we learned on Sankirtan. Sankirtan is the best education. Just like sometimes you have the school, then you have the on-site education. You go to school, and then you practice. The medical student knows it all. Before you hang up sign, you know, MD, da-da-da-da-da, you go and you practice. And from the practice comes many lessons as well and many realizations. So when you go on Sankirtan, the best school, why? Because there's two things we have to learn in Krishna consciousness. If you study Prabhupada's books very carefully, there's so many instructions in Prabhupada's books. But you can break them down into two categories. The spiritual master's duty is to convince the disciple of the temporary, futile nature of this world. It takes a lot of instruction. And he has to reveal to him the process of Krishna consciousness, which concludes in pure devotional service to the Lord. This is the duty. You study any, so many senior devotees are coming here. His Holiness Kesha Bhardia Goswami, Devamrita Maharaj is coming soon. His Holiness Radhanath Swami, one of our best preachers in ISKCON. So many sadhus are coming here, and each has a style, but if you listen carefully and you step back, there's two things that are trying to do. Discourage us in material life and encourage us in Krishna consciousness. They have their stories, they have their verses, they have their way of speaking. But really, they're just talking about giving up material attachments and embracing the process. Ado shuddha tata sadhu sangha ta bhajana kriya anartha naviti syat. 50%. And then the other 50%, you get some nishta, you become steady, you get some ruchi, some taste, some bhav, some prema, like that. So. This is the duty of the spiritual master, to convince us in this way that we have to give up our material attachments and we have to embrace the process of Krishna consciousness. All the acharyas, Śrīla Prabhupāda, and all our acharyas are preaching like this. And if we can do that, then we'll see the Sankirtan movement. It'll spread like wildfire. One time Prabhupada said, just as Lord Ramachandra conquered Lanka with monkeys and bears, so I am spreading the Sankirtan movement with my disciples. I'm spreading this movement with my disciples. But just as bell metal can be changed into gold by a mystical process, according to Sanatana Goswami, so a low-born, foolish person with no adhikari, with no qualifications, can become a pukka Brahman, empowered Vaishnava, by proper training and diksha. So that you are getting here. And if you rise to that challenge and you become, you're being trained so nicely, it shows on your faces because you're happy. This is a very happy temple. That's always the sign. Prabhupada said one time when he went to a temple, he said, if the tulsi plant is growing nicely and the devotees like kirtan, that's the spiritual barometer. The temple is doing nicely. So if tulsi is growing nicely and the devotees have a taste for kirtan, things are going very nicely. If you simply follow the instruction, everything. So you're getting good training here under Vaisheshika Prabhu's. Of course, he won't take any credit for it. If he did, then he wouldn't be qualified. The crest jewel of all the devotees' qualities are his humility. Tatikshiva, Krunika, Shuridam, Sarvadehinam, Achata Shatava Shanta Shadava Shadabhushanaha. Sadava Shadabhushana means the sincere disciple. He becomes blessed with all good qualities by which he uses to spread the Sankirtan movement. Tatikshava Krunika Shuridam Shavadehinam Achata Shatava Shanta Sadava. So the crest jewel of all those qualities is humility, because a devotee gives up his own attempts by giving up his own selfish nature, he becomes empowered to preach, he becomes the transparent via medium by which the Lord can preach through. After all, Prabhupada said, preaching is the essence, utility is the principle, books are the basis, but purity is the force. You can have everything there. You can have storehouse of books. You can have so much facility. Utility is the principle. You can have the order to preach. But if the purity is not there, it won't happen. So why is Vaisheshika Prabhu so successful? Because he has a very pure heart. How is his heart pure? Because he's a good sadhaka. Why have these ancient, in Europe we have huge buildings, you know, castles and government offices that have stood for hundreds or thousands of years, but have good foundation. So a lot of talk about preaching, we're going to spread but where does it all start? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As we said the other day, there's more that comes out of the bead bag than the finger. Everything is based on chanting. Everything comes from chanting Hare Krishna. So he's a strict sadhaka. He likes to chant. He likes to read. He's ISKCON's shloka wala. Wala means one who possesses or markets. He's a shloka wala. He still has a way to go. We're going to keep him humble. He still has a way to go. When I was at Radhakund recently, I met one old sadhu. Actually, I was walking and I wasn't attentive and I bumped into him. You know what he did? He offered me obeisances. He felt that I offended him. So he went down very fast. Panchakalpaturu Mista. Oh, Maharaj, excuse me. And I bowed down. I got down on the ground. My foolishness. Sometimes we have to learn the lessons the hard way. And then he stood up. And he was just a tattered rag around his body. I said, Babaji, you're speaking very good English. He chuckled. He quoted some shloka, I don't remember. I said, oh, Babaji, you quote the shlokas very nice. Yeah, no. And he had one servant, and his servant said, he knows the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 shlokas. And then he said, he knows the entire 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. I said, impossible. How can someone, only a computer can do that. So I very humbly I said, Babaji, first canto, 8th chapter, verse 45. Tambadam iti upamaitreya. I can't even say it now, 30 years, 40 years. Then I said, 6th canto, 4th chapter, verse 62. 9th canto, 6th chapter, verse 45. Quote the entire chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila number 6. I couldn't believe it. I thought, this sadhu has offered obeisances to me. Boy, did I fall flat on the ground. And I grabbed his feet. I put them on my head. I said, Babaji, bless me. No. You are superior to me. I am not. This is Vaishnava. Amanina manidina kirtani yatsadahari. He always wants to glorify. This is the trouble of being around Vaisheshika. He's always glorifying the guests. You can't even get a word in otherwise. No one wants to say something about you. So rest assured, you're in good hands. And if you follow this simple process, just every day chanting, every day reading, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Shmaranam Padasevanam Archanam Bandam Dasyam Sakyam Atman. As demonstrated by your leadership, then you will be amazed what happens as time goes on. Our future is very bright because we're following Guru Shastra and Sadhu. Have that Shraddha, have that faith. The Karmis rightfully say, trust no future, however bright. Yes, sir, we agree. Because even if you have a very bright future, even if you're a very pious man, you will get a very pious birth in Sweden. You'll have a very nice house and beautiful wife, lots of money, lots of government will not overtax you. Everything will be very nice. But you'll have to take birth to get it, 9 months in the womb. You're going to have to get disease because it's very cold there. You're going to get old. And you're going to die. Trust no future, however bright. But Krishna consciousness, we can have faith in our future. Even though these things are there, they're like little mosquitoes. Go away. Because of the wonderful golden opportunities that are ahead of us, service eternally. So your future is very bright. Because you're doing everything, as I can see, according to Prabhupada's instruction. It's not like that everywhere. With all due respect. But Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple-minded and difficult for the crooked mind. Here's someone who's following the straight and narrow path of Krishna consciousness, emphasizing strong sadhan and strong preaching. What a dynamic combination! Because by good sadhana, you develop a desire to preach. That because you get purified, and what is a purified heart of a Vaishnava? We can look. His happiness, his sadness is to see people bereft of Krishna consciousness, and his sole source of joy is to see people getting the opportunity. This is the result of sadhana. Not necessarily that your hair stands on end and tears come from your eyes. That may be. But look at Prabhupada. He hid those symptoms. What was he? He was lamenting that people did not have Krishna, and he was happy when he saw people getting Krishna consciousness. This is a simple formula. One time I came into Prabhupada's room at New Mayapur, and he was looking out his window of hundreds of devotees taking prasad. And I came in to return a chadar that had been left on the ground outside. And Prabhupada turned around. He was so immersed watching the devotees take prasad. He turned around. Tears were flowing from his eyes. He said to me, "Let them take prasad." He didn't actually say it to me. He just said, "Let them take prasad." You know the fourth verse of Guru Vashtakam. The spiritual master is very, because he knows how it purifies the heart. I got such a deep impression at that time. Prabhupada wanted the devotees to take prasad so they would be purified. So a Vaishnava who strictly followed his sadhana, which is not so difficult, he develops a desire to preach. This is the real result of following sadhana. And by going out and preach, what do you get? By the blessings of Lord Chaitanya, you get a taste, you get this nam ruchi. You get a desire to chant. It's like, you know, steps going up. Sadhana, preaching. Sadhana, preaching, like that. This is Lord Chaitanya's formula. So it's being so nicely performed here, and we would request the devotees around America to come visit this temple. It's nothing like so extravagant. I told Vaish, I said, it's like grassroots. And it's nice like that. Little, you know, you live in a parking lot, it looks like. You live in a parking lot. That probably has something to do with the fact that he distributed books for so many years in the parking lot. He just said, okay, a parking lot's where I want to live. Devotee feels more comfortable on the street than he does back in the temple, because he knows there's where you get the mercy. There's where you get the mercy. You get the mercy here, but it's flowing on the streets of Kali Yuga. So you live in a parking lot. You know, I think, geez, this place has got a lot of places to... this is great because you can park a lot of cars here. Then I realized, my God, this is a parking lot. You've got some company here and this is their parking lot. You know, a little building for a couple of householders to live and a storage. And that's what, this is very nice. Of course, it would be nice to have a big temple, but not at the expense of the preaching. Never at the expense. So he's wise like that. He's waiting for the temple to drop from the sky. Right. And probably that's how it'll happen. Just like Buddhism. How did Buddhism spread throughout India? It was going very slow because they're renunciates. And there was, you know, they were all renunciates, the men. But one king, Ashok, he recognized, oh, this is something very valuable. So he funded the Buddhism practically single-handedly, and he made it an order, everyone in my kingdom must become Buddhist, and this way Buddhism. So the preacher is thinking like that. He's just preaching and leaving the results up to Krishna. He has full faith by being a good sadhaka and giving as much time as I can, because to each his own. Some of us are free from family responsibilities so we can travel and preach. Most of you, probably all of you, are married. You have families. And you can't do so much, but Vaisheshika is encouraging you. This is the mood he wants. Everyone, do according to your need. Many hands make small work. All together. And this was actually Lord, understanding the mentality of Kali Yuga. Sannyas was not recommended in this age. Hardly anyone can give up and renounce and fully embrace Krishna. No harm. Mahaprabhu said to the Kurma Brahman, you stay home and with your family, chant and preach from the Bhagavad Gita. This is Mahaprabhu's vision. So all together, many hands make small work. All of you, and one day here, or you have your weekend like that, and it all adds up. And this is Sankirtan. Sankirtan means the complete glorification of the Lord. So all the devotees come together, and as one body, they preach. And because you're being trained to be serious about tzedakah, and because this Sankirtan movement is instilled in your heart, the mood here is wonderful. Even this little shack, it looks like Vaikuntha. There's nothing wonderful about this building, but the impression I got when I walked in is, wow, this is nice. Because the Vaishnavas are living here. One time Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, one day I woke up and my house was transformed into Vaikuntha. So you have a very loving mood here. When I walked in, Bhakta,
Jonathan,
I never met him before, but he gave me this beautiful saffron scarf. And I was just telling Vaisheshika that my next stop is the Windy City, Chicago. And my disciples are telling me, Guru Maharaj, it's very cold. Bring jackets, socks, and scarf. And I lost my scarf. And I think, where am I going to get a scarf in San Jose? This is California sunshine. And even if I find one, it's going to be, you know, black or dark blue. People today, they wear like... And this Prabhu walked up and said that he's given, and he said that he made it himself. He knit this himself. So this is love. That you can love someone in our movement even if you've never met them. This is real love. In the material world, you try to love someone after many, many years, and it usually fun. But in Krishna, you don't even know someone and you fall in love with them. This is our ISKCON family. We hear about the adventures of someone in some far distant corner of the world and preaching Krishna consciousness, and we're so inspired, yes. And we meet a bhakta. Some will say, oh, he's just a bhakta. Well, bhakta means that he's agreed to take up the strict, austere life of Krishna consciousness, and according to the karmis, it's pretty strict, our rules and regulations. So every bhakta should be shown proper respect. And to give up any enmity in the heart after millions of years and chant God's name, you can't sing the name of someone you don't like. So if a devotee is chanting even the first week, we have to offer that devotee all due respect. So Prabhupada told me personally, he gave me his dhoti in London in 1971 to inspire me to go to France and preach. And he gave me instructions. He said, well, preach boldly and always have faith in the holy names. Then he said, a gift from a Vaishnava is a very special thing. So I take this as a very special gift. Beyond the nice material it is and the wonderful, perfect color, I take it this is a gift from the heart of a Vaishnava, and I will wear it until it disintegrates. So just that one thing helped me understand the loving sentiment, that nice spirit of cooperation. Prabhupada said, your love for me will be tested by your cooperation. So here's a nice spirit of cooperation, loving sentiments. You take a drop from the ocean and you can understand what the whole ocean is like. So just that, meeting with that devotee, and also this young boy here, Daniel, very nice, starting Krishna consciousness just out of the egg. He came when he was very young, and now he's still young. But here he is in the midst of the devotees. He's chosen Krishna consciousness over all that very attractive sense gratification that just pulls the senses of the teenagers in modern times. So I can only conclude he was a devotee in his last life, and he's continuing into this life. He has a very nice, humble attitude as well. So all these qualities I'm seeing, I'm thinking this is the result of your good training and your Sankirtan spirit, and everything will come in due course of time. Maybe a big temple will come, maybe it won't. But what's really important is the Brihat Mridanga. We have to keep pounding it. If our temple will facilitate it, let it come. We'll take the temple, we'll take a fleet of cars, you can put it on the billboard. We're willing to take, you know, Steve Jobs, everybody else in this area, we're willing to accept these donations, but not at the expense of the preaching. It should facilitate the preaching. So don't worry, you don't have to figure it out. He'll figure it out. We have confidence he knows what to do, and the Sankirtan drum will continue pounding here. And it will be heard not only around America, because I travel all over the world. It will be heard all over the world. Thank you.